Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu,
with a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening. A reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
Rescue me, I am drowning. Cannot see you. The water's deep, and I've been treading too long, and now I'm sinking. Would you let me see if you are there? Would you rescue me if you are? Comfort me, this fear is dragging me down deep in the darkness. Frigid sea, my whole heart has grown cold. I know I'm dying. Will you answer me if you are there? Will you rescue me if you are there?
You know, many of us human beings move in and out of our depth of faith, our sense of rootedness in the spirit and in spiritual disciplines, and we have deep commitment cards that our community shares with one another once a year in how we want to be committed to our worship and our practices and financially. And this last year, the number one thing that, and folks don't coordinate, at least I don't think you all do, but was prayer. I don't know how to pray. I want to go back to praying. I used to pray a lot, now I don't pray so much. I don't know how to start prayer. My prayer seems tedious and stale. So we want to lift that up and talk about that, because we're not the only ones that way. Even people who have lives steeped in religious thought and academic preparation feel that way. There's one such woman, her name's Kathleen Norris. She's written many books, and she weaves life and prayer and faith together. And she has a book called Amazing Grace, A Vocabulary of Faith. And in that book, she tells this one story of going back to church when she hasn't been to church in a really long time. And she says that the words in the church were really inaccessible to her. Like, meaningless code words, she called them. And she felt like all those words were assaulting her. And she described feeling really exhausted after worship and going home, and so exhausted she needed a 3-hour nap to recover. But she didn't want to give up, and she stumbled soon across a monastery, a Benedictine monastery. And she went in there, and she learned in that place about silence. And she said she found that experience of worship and words much more accessible to her. She said the monks at that place were less anxious to fill the air with words, and they allowed for silence and music so that a person would have time to digest the words that they heard spoken and read aloud. And she explained that this rhythm of words and silence became for her a blessing and a gift, an actual refreshment. Making space and taking time to hear from God is what faithful followers have done throughout the ages. It's what we just did this morning. It's called prayer. And today we begin 3 weeks of a series on prayer. And today I'm just going to sketch a little bit of a history of prayer. And next week, I'm going to lift up some ways in which other Christian communities pray. And then in our last week, I hope that we're going to consider what it might be for each of us to have and grow and develop and work on and commit to an individual life of prayer on a daily basis. And the message, the sermon part, it's kind of blasphemous, is going to be a little bit secondary. I just want to say that out loud. It's going to be secondary to the opportunities that are around the room and in the pew to be a people at prayer. And today I'm especially mindful of the vulnerability that goes along with doing something like that. Because it was prayer and Bible study group that we acknowledged this morning at the beginning of worship that was happening in Charleston. Because when we're like this, anyone is welcome to come in. And we want to be focused on God and we want to be open. And those folks were completely caught off guard by the violence in the midst of their life of prayer. And in this sanctuary, we don't expect such violence to occur, but neither did they. Neither did they. And those of us who have been exposed to hatred, though, know that most every boundary that human beings create at some point or another can be trampled over, even sacred boundaries. Writer Anne Lamott, who's from the Bay Area, Marin County, knows this, and that's in part why I think I am so inspired by her writings and especially by a book she wrote some years ago, which helped us with this series, and it's called Help, Thanks, Wow. And in her book, Annie writes, "I do not know much about God and prayer, but I've come to believe over the past 25 years, I'm hearing that song, along this tedious journey, that there's something to be said about keeping prayer simple. Simple for Anne Lamott, and hopefully for us in these 3 weeks, are the single word prayers, help, thanks, wow." You'll see these words around the sanctuary. For this series, I'm going to define prayer for all of us as communication with God. Got it? Communication with God. You can't mess that up. You really can't. And this definition clearly includes a lot of things. It includes words and silence, movement and stillness, privacy, community, art, not art. It takes practice, because the goal of prayer is to tune our hearts to God's heart so much that we find ourselves in constant prayer. I don't think that the people of Charleston could have stood in that courtroom already in a state of forgiveness to the perpetrator of violence if they were not a people who were steeped in scripture and prayer, steeped in it. But it takes work. One writer said, to be spiritually fit to scale the Himalayas of the spirit, we need regular exercise in the hills and the valleys of our ordinary life. So, just a brief word. Where does prayer come from? How do people start praying? our inheritance as Christians of prayer really has roots in the Bible and in the ancient practices of the Jewish people. Jewish liturgical prayer, that's prayer that happened in their synagogues, was in sync with the hours of what was going on in their temple when people would come to give prayer and sacrifice. And this meant it was in the morning, mostly, and then in the evening. And the people came in the morning before they would go off to work or do their life together and give offerings to God. And then after a day of work or study, they would come back and give their offerings to God. And they would pray at those two times. And you can find references to that in the Bible. And there are other passages in the Bible that make it seem as though maybe it was even for some more than the morning and the night, was three times a day. That would be recognized, that you would give thanks to God and sacrifice to God so that your life would continue to be filled and whole. And if you lived in a monastery, seven times a day. Seven times a day you stopped everything you were doing to say thanks, to pray, and to be silent with God. So Christians have continued this practice that we inherited from our Jewish ancestors. And the Roman Catholic tradition calls this something. It's called the Liturgy of the Hours. So that makes sense now, right? Morning and night, or seven times a day. The Orthodox tradition, there's different names for it, calls it the Divine Office. The Episcopal Church has a Book of Common Prayer, and it's all divided in hours. United Methodists call it Daily Praise and Prayer. And our book of worship has four times a day. In all of these traditions, we can make the common connection of praying as we mark time during our day. And that connects to the four seasons. So think about this. Sunrise, that's spring. The heat of the day we pray, that's summer. The cool of the day is fall. And at nighttime, that represents winter. And whatever you want to call it, it's punctuating the day with prayer. Okay? And this way of life was adapted and practiced because on a deep level, people always wanted to be prepared that Jesus was going to be in their midst. They wanted to be ready. It's like having your bag packed. If you've ever had a baby, you're supposed to have your bag packed way early because you really don't know when it's going to happen. It's having your bag packed with prayer because Jesus was going to come and be among the people. So I hope all that makes sense. There are really no big references other than the Lord's Prayer, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks, that say exactly how all of these prayers happened. So what we think is that people prayed from their hearts, around meals, around work. And we can trust that people shared out of their hearts. From the earliest writings, then, comes how we order, how we are here in the morning. We gather and we say thanks and we pray and we listen and we read from the Bible and we give offerings, our offering sacrifices. And then we go home. So a few summers ago, we had this worship series, and we called it The Evolution of Church. And this is what often happens in a worship series. We have it, and we're in the midst of it, and it's growing all around us. Well, this particular Sunday, I think we started outside, and then we had stations all through the whole building, from the big room down there and in the small classrooms along the hallway and then in here. And then we had a bell. And what we did was we mimicked those 7 hours of prayer that the monks did. And so at every station, there was a different prayer that represented a different time of the day. I didn't really think much about it, except, you know, have all the cards there, have all the bells there, have everything there, calm Matt down that everyone's going to move around and it'll be okay, right? And then I'm standing in the hallway, and the first bell rang and people prayed, and then the second bell rang, which said, stop prayer. Then the next bell rang and everybody moved in this whole building. There was like 100 people, 75 people. And I was standing there and I could hear you all walking, and then it stopped. And then a bell rang, and the whole building started like a tuning fork reverberating with prayer. I'd never been to a monastery. I still haven't. So I'd never heard anything like that. And of course, I like had goosebumps going, oh, and I lost all track of time. And it was the most amazing moment. It was the most amazing moment. Because all of us just worked in concert with each other to tune our voices and our hearts to God. It was very powerful, and I really, though, shouldn't have been surprised. Because prayer is like that. We heard Matt read this story, this ancient story from the Bible. Those disciples and Jesus are in a boat. Jesus is fine and asleep, calm. They've just spent a whole day teaching. They're tired, is my imagination, and they take a breather on the Sea of Galilee. They're not alone. There's other people around them in boats, and this storm starts to come up. And they awake Jesus and they yell out, "Do you not care that we're perishing?" It's our ultimate cry of fear and doubt and abandonment. And I think it just is the human condition that often when we're in the midst of things, we get distressed, we cry out, and we think God has abandoned us, right? So the power of prayer that happens in this passage is, first they say their prayer, which in one word is help. Help. And Jesus, from his vantage point, answers the prayer by standing up, rebuking the winds. And in my way of imagining, he's kind of like, don't you get it? Don't you get it? Just be calm. I'm not going to get all freaked out like you are. I'm not joining you in your anxiety. I'm just going to stand up. And on some level, I think he thinks they could do it too. I really do. But they want to be rescued. And we all want to be rescued at some level. It's a human condition. So how do we deal with how we feel in those times? How do we pray those kind of prayers of help? There's a woman named Glennon Doyle Melton. She's written a book that I have found. It's just very beautiful. It's called Carry On Warrior, The Power of Embracing Your Messy, Beautiful Life. She's also founded a website called momastery.com for those of us who find our cars to be our monastery because you're driving children everywhere. Yes. She describes herself, Glennon does, as recovering from everything. How about that? And she lives one day at a time as a mom, a partner, a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. So I want us to, it's about 6 minutes long, and then we're going to move to pray soon after that. I want us to listen. Oh, and I want to say to the parents, there's two cuss words in here, but they're not bad. It's okay. Let's listen as she describes her practice of prayer. They're not. Okay, go ahead, Betty.
Due to copyright restrictions, we are not able to share the video from worship on our podcast.
Cultivating a prayer life takes creativity, as you hear, and commitment to be aware. That's the first step. So we're going to try some awareness here in the sanctuary, and I want to say just a few words about that. The first thing is just... everybody breathe in and breathe out. You cannot make a mistake. There's no wrong way. We have an area in the back there and one there and one here. That's thanks. That's help. What do you think this is? Wow. Right. But if you want to put your wow in the thanks, that's all right. So that's the first thing I want to say. The second is, we're doing a lot with words. So we have cards at the places, and it has those words, help, thanks, wow. And that's just, sometimes people need a bit of a prompt, and they want to say what they are feeling thankful for. And there's some pins there, and feel free to pin it on or just lay it there. But There are also rocks there. And a bunch of us got together and made some rocks for everyone. And our invitation is for you to take one if you want to this week. If you don't want to this week, take one next week. There's plenty of time. And carry it around with you so that maybe you remember either to be thankful or to breathe or to ask for help or to say, wow. It's pretty simple in that way. The other thing I want to say is I have paper on the ground because some of us like to lay on our bellies and color. And there's lots of pens, and I'm inviting parents especially to bring your young friends, our young friends up there. But you don't have to be young to lay on your belly and draw. And if you need help getting up, just signal. And finally, at this table is a certain kind of art. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to finish it today. Take it with you or leave it here and come back. And this is a certain kind of prayer. And the invitation is for our community to just get a taste of it. And maybe over the summer, some of us, I know, will be enamored by this and start praying in this way. And they're called Zen Tangles. And I just want to do a really quick art lesson. So will you help us, Betty, with the first? So there's two sizes of squares. You draw those little dot things. And then watch what you do with that. You connect the dots. And then the next thing is you divide that square. You can make a Z. You can do it however you want. There's suggestions over here. Okay, so that's the there. And then in each section, you just make a design. Now, for some of us, you're already overwhelmed, and that's okay. There's directions. And the idea is that the design that you put, so crosses, or some of us do circles, or some of us will do hearts. You just do that in that one section that you've sectioned off. And they're very small. And if you want to take it with you, you can, or leave it here and we'll build those together. But the idea is not to produce a product that is beautiful, but to listen to your breath as you allow yourself to draw. And to just go with the flow of the black pen and see what happens. Because for some of us, that is very helpful. So we are going to be an invitation of, I'm going to make an invitation to you now to allow your prayers to rise to the surface. And at some point, some of us are just going to stay in our pew. But please be mindful. Help people because we're more people to just, you know, permission. Yes, you can crawl over me to get out. And then Matt will help us get to the point of offering. But if you're in one of these positions, just stay there and the plates can come to you or you can find them after worship. You'll know that we're going to move toward that time when the music shifts, whatever. Brendan will do something. But until that time, just maybe today you're just going to look at all of them. And as always, we have candles and sand, and they have been decorated with some prayers that you can read silently in your mind. If you want to take one with you, that's okay. We can replace those. So, God's people have prayed throughout the ages, and we did it this morning in worship. And this series is to offer to us some practice at that, so that when we're out in the world and we feel like we want to say help, thanks, and wow, that we feel good about doing that. And that we have some skills as followers of Jesus. That's our goal. Let's join and be the community of God at prayer.
Christ.